First of all, it starts with how you speak to yourself. You can, you are, you will. So I just start there, which maybe not the answer one would expect, but it does start there. And then there are resources like dream.org, which purposefully were stood up to be that bridge. If even you think about your story, my story, at the end of the day, it's transferable skills. Well, it's a mindset. You said you're a lifelong learner, right? So a growth mindset is what's necessary to pivot, which is just one that wants to get better every day. And that's especially important in the tech sector because it changes so fast, so rapidly.
Welcome to Tech Intersect. I'm your host, Tanya Evans, and my life and work exist at the heart of law, business, and technology. Yeah, I've earned a few fancy titles and degrees over the years, but the bottom line is I'm a writer, speaker, teacher, and lifelong learner, and I'm really excited that you've joined me on this journey. So what is Tech Intersect? Well, it's authentic, empowering conversations with really interesting guests who demystify complex topics to prepare you for the future, because your future is now, and it exists where law, business, and tech intersect. Get ready to listen, learn, and leverage. Let's get started. In this episode of Tech Intersect, I am so excited to speak with Kashif Wizard, National Director of Dream.org. And I'm really excited to share this visionary's past, present, and future, and just the story of, one could say, traditional, but also very non-traditional path to what he's doing today. As a first-generation American-born to parents of Caribbean descent, Kashif attributes the alignment of his career and purpose to interventions and exposure to educational resources far outside of the community that raised him. With such a dichotomy between the two worlds, he grew to know an unshakable commitment to be on the front line of change was born. And now, again, as the National Director of Dream.org's tech program, Kashif is responsible for the integrity of tech programs, trainings, materials, and ensuring that all offerings align with the mission and the vision and the values of the organization. And I invited Kashif on to Tech Intersect to really explore our shared belief and commitment to giving more access to underserved and underprivileged children and adults and giving them the guidance and support needed to pursue careers in tech. So we will talk about all of that and more in a moment. But first, Kashif, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, I was doing my prep in anticipation of our conversation, and you have such fascinating, rich, and vibrant story leading up to and preparing you for the work that you do today. It's a story, I'll give you my initial reactions and then you provide the context, but a story of family, a story of community, a story of adventure, and certainly vision and perseverance. So can you share a bit about your path into technology and empowerment and the community service that you do now with listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do think that it starts at the beginning. And for me personally, it actually feels somewhat divine. I'm doing exactly what I was called to do. Born to parents of Caribbean descent, as you mentioned, actually my parents had me at a young age, in high school, frankly, graduating high school. And my dad at the time, he saw a tab, and this is how far back I'm going. I'm going to my father, right? He saw a tab on a bulletin board, and it, you know, essentially at schools, bulletin boards, you know, you pull the tab for jobs and things of that nature. And he saw a tab that said, would you be interested in a career in tech? And my dad pulled that tab at the age of 18 or 19. He pulled that tab, and that was his non-traditional pathway into tech. You know, at that point in time, computers were the size of this room that I'm sitting in right now.
Literally.
And And I remember actually at the age of 5, 6 years old, going to him on bring your child to work day and running around. It felt like a maze as a kid because these big structures, and I'm running in and out in between me and my younger brother. And he was there working on the hardware side. But that was unknowingly exposure that I had to tech at a young age. And we did have a computer in the household. He would build computers from various scrap pieces. So I had exposure unknowingly at an early age. And then fast forward to about the age of 7. And I didn't mention I was born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts. And much like any city urban center, these communities have lots of challenges, systemic challenges at that. And many don't know that about Boston, but the highest wealth disparity in the nation is in that city as far as Black wealth in comparison to white folk. So all that said, educational challenges, fortunately, my parents put me in a program and it's called the METCO, a METCO program, which really is, I would say, birthed out of the busing riots, right? So Boston is known as a city with challenges and arguably a racist city, right? And part of that is because of the busing riots and the public photos and images that were seen during that time period. METCO was created post that era, 1974, 1976. It's when it was stood up. But I was fortunate to be put into this busing program where I was able to go from inner city, challenged community, drive an hour and some change away to a school and be one of 10 to 15 Black children in a mostly white school. Right. But at that age, I got exposure, you know, and was provided enough exposure to be able to dream beyond the community that I lived in. This program afforded me access to educational resources and programming that I would say put me on a different trajectory than the children in this community that I was raised in.
Right.
And then fortunately, because of the parents that I have and the household that I was raised in, I was afforded and given space to fail, space to lead, and lots of words of affirmation along the way during my development. And those were seeds planted, watered, again, all unknowing. I didn't know that this was going to be the foundation for me being able to pivot and lead in this space. But I wanted to first name and speak to that foundation. Fast forward, I go to school. I go to college. I'm the oldest of four, and I was the first to graduate college in my family. And I graduated with a marketing degree, so not a technical background, even though, again, I mentioned the technical exposure I had young, programming that I went to that really, again, I would say unlocked the potential in me. But I graduated with a marketing degree, went into corporate, and the first job that I got was in the tobacco industry, which didn't align with who I was, but it was a good job out of school. And frankly, I was building big tobacco businesses, and I could tell, and it was this pull on me at that point in time, that the work that I was doing and our consumer base, folk that looked like me, I'm not a smoker, and you know, again, it wasn't necessarily my lifestyle. I was challenged. I felt, you know, I felt the pull. And at that point, I was like, I got to figure out a way out of this industry and do work that aligns with me. Fast forward, a door opened up, which again, I think was divine at that point in time. And I pivoted into the nonprofit sector. And I leveraged all those skill sets that I had, the transferable skill sets that I honed working in the tobacco industry. I leveraged those skill sets to help corporations, Fortune 500 companies, help them diversify their talent bases. So basically, I was working in partner development at the National Black MBA Association, and 50 plus year running organization, helping connect talent, diverse talent with Fortune 500 companies. And companies raised their hand and said that they were challenged in diversifying their talent base. And we had programming that we could leverage to help them find the talent, retain the talent, and so forth. While in that position, I realized it was a unique challenge in the tech sector. And this was how I honed in on the challenges there and was able to support tech companies while in that role, diversify their talent and bring some good tech talent in. Fast forward, I got an opportunity to work at Dream.org and be a part of their tech program, in which I was able to leverage those relationships, all that I learned in my previous role regarding the challenges specifically in the tech sector and diversifying talent bases, and bring that over into this organization. And fast forward, whether I can get into it now or not, but various iterations of the program which have led to, you know, over 500 people being 500 diverse Black and Latinx talent being upskilled and moved into the tech sector.
Yeah, let's do this because I want to put a fine point on, first of all, Dream.org's charge, which you've spoken to in some sense, but I definitely want to get super specific because there will be people listening say, that sounds like something I could use. Where do I go next? But let me put, I don't want to miss so much of the wisdom and the richness of what you just shared. Some of it I identify very closely with, given my own experience and both traditional and non-traditional path to this space. While I was not a first generation person in my family to attend college, my parents were very young when I was born. And I think they're both like 21, 22 at Howard University, both coming out. My dad went on to be a doctor. Mother went on to be a lawyer. At that time, they were two seniors in college trying to figure it out. Right. And I remember growing up, my dad went to Jefferson Medical School in Philly, where I was raised, and my mother went to Temple Law School. And as you were describing that early exposure that you had to technology, that then was part of what I also hear in your story of no wasted effort, no wasted effort, no wasted experience, because now everything has come together in ways you could have never anticipated or imagined. So I was running up and down the hallways of Temple's Law Library in the Black Law Students Association office, eating potato chips, watching a black and white TV, right? And people wondering, whose child is this? This is child abuse. And that turned out to be pretty great. But the fact that where you start is not where you finish. And again, there's no wasted effort because one, I turned out to be a lawyer. My best aunties in the world were people who went to school with my mom at the time. And I love also one other thing I wrote down as you were speaking, the fact that although you had early exposure to tech, your degree was in marketing. Mine was in communications. I don't exactly know what one does, but evidently we did great things with our degrees to get to this point, because I also think being a lover of language, the written and the spoken word, makes me a great writer, speaker, teacher. Right. So there's no wasted effort. So I just wanted to connect with you around those pieces, because so often when I hear people, particularly in Black and brown communities who want to upskill, reskill, pivot, and we'll talk about that, they think, oh, my path is in no way related to that. So what's my entry point? And your story speaks to that, if that makes sense.
If I could say one quick thing and follow up, and I say this all the time, we are the literal sum of our experiences, right? And you don't know, again, where those experiences will take you. But I think the earlier one understands and realizes that, the more control that you'll have in your life. Also, the more empathy that you have in your walk. Can't see, but that's a tattoo and it's a star, and empathy is tattooed here. I realize that that's my superpower. And the reason why I'm able to connect community with opportunity now is because I realize, wow, I'm just the sum of my experiences. So what experiences got me to here? That now that I have this stage, these platforms, these resources, how can I connect better, connect community to opportunity? Also, when I am in spaces, when I'm engaging with people, and this is bringing it down to the ground level, but when they say things that may push one away, I'm able to pause, reflect, and understand that they're the sum of their experiences, and that informed how they said that, which may have landed wrong and could easily be perceived negatively, but they're the sum of their experiences. And at the end of the day, I have an unshakable commitment to connect community to opportunity. And I won't give up on my brothers and sisters, you know, because of that.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tanya M. Evans, author of Digital Money Demystified. let you know that to stay on the leading edge of any opportunity, especially investing, you have to empower yourself with the tools and resources needed to keep your knowledge and skills current. And if you're relying on last year's information or even last month's, look, you're already behind. Sure, you can try to figure this out on your own at YouTube University. The problem is, it's difficult to separate fact from fiction with so many carnival barkers banking on your inexperience. And of course, there are the naysayers, usually from legacy finance, banking on your fear while they quietly help their high net worth clients to invest. All of it muddies the waters when all you want to know is how to get in safely, legally, and confidently so you're not left behind. That's why I wrote Digital Money Demystified, where I take the top 10 crypto myths head on and give you well-researched, well-supported facts to empower you to make good choices out there in the new digital cash economy. As a law professor who developed the first blockchain crypto and law online certificate program, a retail and corporate crypto policy and education trainer, and a thought leader appearing regularly on national media, I've done the heavy lifting so you don't have to. Look, there are plenty of books and courses on which crypto assets to invest in. Digital Money Demystified is the book you read before you dive into those. So head to digitalmoneydemystified.com to learn more and prepare for the future of money and wealth today.
That's really powerful. And this is also a message that most people don't hear when they think of technology. I'm a non-technologist who found my way and kind of reinvented myself as an intellectual property lawyer, but also a technology lawyer and a lifelong learner. Right. So my ability to pivot my teaching as a tenured professor, but also my real charge in life as an entrepreneur, like the entrepreneurial vibe is within me as well. It's like, how do I connect what I know from technology, from law, from business to people in the community who may never go to law school, be a lawyer, be a law student, but still really needs this information? And so many think that because they don't have a computer science degree or they didn't grow up with STEM, that there's no entry point. What would you, from your perspective, how can people who are non-technologists or what my friend and I call tech adjacent, how do they find their way into this space?
First of all, it starts with how you speak to yourself. You can, you are, you will. So I just start there, which maybe not the answer one would expect, but it does start there. And then there are resources like dream.org, which purposefully were stood up to be that bridge. If even you think about your story, my story, at the end of the day, it's transferable skills. Well, it's a mindset. You said you're a lifelong learner, right? So a growth mindset is what's necessary to pivot, which is just one that wants to get better every day. And that's especially important in the tech sector because it changes so fast, so rapidly, right? So for one, it starts with mindset and that insatiable curiosity to learn. And as long as you have that, there are roles that are in high demand and in need in which your transferable skills will pan over. There may be some upskilling needed, right, to give you a springboard to leap from. But I guarantee that the things that you perceive to be your strongest attributes, they still will make you a strong engineer. They'll only enhance your ability. So, for example, I have a marketing degree. My value in this space is my voice and being able to articulate value proposition to developing talent with soul, right? Or the being able to articulate the value proposition of investing in diverse entrepreneurs. I'm still using my voice. I'm still using those skill sets that I honed in the tobacco industry and leveraging my degree, but I'm using it here, right? So to go back to what you asked, dream.org is a resource, and there are many others in the ecosystem, but it's a matter of you engaging organizations like dream.org and leveraging those resources to upskill. During that period of time of upskilling, you may be wondering, like, but what? You may be trying to figure out what are the roles for you? And that's another way in which our organization and others could help too. We can help you hone that path, right? That career pathway. And we do things like stand-up webinars, chat and choose that are informative while our scholarship cycles are open to connect, help people connect those dots. But it starts with that mindset. You do have transferable skills that will only make you a better software engineer or a, even, and so I'm talking about those are technical roles, right? But there are even non-technical roles in the tech sector as well.
Right. People miss that. People, that's a really important point.
Yes, yes. Technical sales, right? There are certain skill sets, and McKinsey has, and there are all types of studies, but 23 to 25% of Black and Latinx folk will be out of work by 2030, right? That's scary. And that's why I'm ringing the alarm. That's why it's critically important that CBOs, community organizations, you name it, we ring the alarm, community leaders, because so many of our people are unaware of a statistic like that. That rug is being pulled from underneath our feet, and we don't know, our folk don't know that. And that's because of the technological advances that are happening,
right?
So we're over-indexed in support roles right now, roles that could be done away with due to technological advances, artificial intelligence, you name it. Simultaneously, though, while that rapid or exponential technological advances are happening, also the powers that be are saying that there's a climate problem. The world is on fire. So I'm bringing that up also because, and follow me here, because while I'm saying that so many people are going to be out of work, simultaneously, an entire new sector is being built right now.
Right.
And it's a sector that's being stood up and built to drive down pollution. Technology supercharges any solution. So one of the keys to climate change and driving down carbon emission is leveraging technology to do that. And under Joe Biden, $369 billion just got authorized under his presidency. Those have been prioritized to communities that are impacted the most by pollution. And it's being prioritized to 900,000 jobs a year will be stood up between now and 2032 because of this money coming into communities being allocated towards transformative efforts. Mm-hmm. So these skill sets, they're transferable, they're needed. Tech companies need diverse, and they're saying they want and need diverse talent, but also this new economy, this new sector that's being stood up right now, all those same skills are transferable, and they're going to need lots of talent over there too. So want to make sure that people look at tech, not just as the traditional tech, Silicon Valley, it's emerging tech, it's solutions that drive down pollution, solutions that drive down incarceration. Right. Mm-hmm. Technology is the key
because it creates opportunity. Right.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
When I think about, I operate a lot in the crypto space. I'm a crypto and education and policy expert. I certainly didn't start in this area when Bitcoin first launched in 2009. I had no idea. It wasn't until about 2017 was my rabbit hole experience into the space. And at the time, so a lot of discussion about initial coin offerings. There was a boom and a bust that was kind of analogous to the dot-com boom and bust, where most Black and brown people, they miss the boom and the bust, and then they're trying to figure out what's going on, some of which has to do with the support role feature that you mentioned earlier. I look at this next iteration of the internet, Web3 and beyond, and all of the Web3-enabled capabilities and technologies that, in one sense, are making things better, faster, cheaper, but the underlying expertise will always be critically important. And so when I think of even my entry point into the digital asset and programmable asset space, I will never know all the things about all the things.
Right.
But I'm already an intellectual property lawyer. I took a deep dive at the intersection of, and this is what I do at Advantage Evans Academy. What is your existing lane? Let's do a search or some market research about that existing expertise plus fill in the blank of whatever the technology is, right? If it's going to be distributed ledgers, cryptographically secured assets, artificial intelligence, AR, VR, like fill in the blank. And let's just start where you are, because you will instantly be the smartest person in the room, because most people will wait until the herd moves. And a little goes a long way in terms of being ahead of the curve. Just asking the questions
That's
just
it.
Right. Getting, as you said earlier, intellectually curious and learning how to be a first mover. That first mover advantage is critically important. It's where riches, wealth, that's where wealth is created.
There you go.
Most often, if you're a systemically marginalized population, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
The rest of the people are making money on it. So by the time the rest of us gets there, there might be some money, but most of the money that has been made has already been made and they're on to the next, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. We get in when the tide is going down versus while the tide is rising. And that would be the statement really to sum up the opportunity that I just spoke to. This is an opportunity to get in while the tide is rising. And for the probably the first time, arguably one of the first times that people of color can get in while the tide is rising, because education is the equalizer. And it doesn't mean traditional pathways. There are many non-traditional pathways and entry points now. The emergence of boot camps and various technical certifications, which, just to name it again, that's what dream.org does. We have two career pathways right now that we're most known for. One is our scholarship fund, which we empower talent to pursue upskilling technical certifications that align with their desires. We are an organization that really is intent on unlocking and activating superheroes. So we do want you to use and understand that you can use that talent for good. Consider sustainability. Consider, as an entrepreneur, standing up solutions that can support decarceration. We're trying to create an army over here. But at the end of the day, scholarship fund, then we have a direct training pathway where, based on the technical need of companies, we reverse engineer and create curriculum and upskill talent based on the needs of that company, the curriculum. And over a 10-week period, they're not only trained for that technical role, but we've trained them in a way that's made them more whole. They're supported with mentors. They're supported with what I call foundational skills training, which conversations around imposter syndrome, emotional intelligence, all the pieces that help develop someone holistically, especially talent of color, because we're stepping into new spaces, spaces where we may not have foreseen ourselves. We're supporting talent with that. So two direct pathways. And then simultaneously, we have stood up pathways to accelerate diverse Black and Latinx entrepreneurs too, right?
So the intrapreneur, but also the entrepreneur.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. Because well, organically, twofold, we saw with technical talent fairly quickly, they're either going to commit to ascending within companies, within their role, within their expertise, but fairly quickly, they're also making decisions to become entrepreneurs and standing up their own solutions as well. But so often, the barrier to scaling those solutions is our capital or investment readiness and other factors. So we now are standing up resources. We actually launch what we call the Dream Launch Pad in a week or so for climate tech, Black and Latinx climate tech entrepreneurs. And, you know, we're going to accelerate them, help them become more investment ready so that they're able to be invested in, maybe secure government contracts to transform communities. But it's not only upskill talent and position talent for the future of work and get them good jobs. It's also ensuring that while this tide is rising, that Black and brown led and owned companies are in position to secure these contracts while all this money is coming down to transform these communities. So we're prioritizing those diverse entrepreneurs as well.
Very, very powerful and exciting that it's a both and approach with respect to helping people to ascend within organizations, but also being mindful of the entrepreneurs who want to maybe pivot out of corporate America. And then I love how you've described being investment ready.
Yeah,
we have a lot of conversations and necessarily slow about the disparate investment in Black-owned, Brown-owned versus white-owned companies or startups as well. But the other side of that is we also want to stay ready so we don't have to get ready.
Right?
Right. And I hear far fewer conversations around, let's get ready and be intentional from a mindset point of view. I believe very strongly in law of attraction and staying ready so you don't have to get ready. We can take a little and make a lot. That historically, that is who we are as people, to make the most. So imagine when we have the most. If you can make the most out of a little, if you get the most, then you're really ready to soar.
Absolutely.
And you can think of the cautionary tales in the same way that I can. Sometimes people are enriched or have an opportunity and they're not ready for it. And the only thing that's worse than not having an opportunity is having the opportunity and not being ready. So that is a critical piece of a foundation that's going to support wealth accumulation and building in this generation and for generations to come, so that we're not starting over every generation, because there is no starting over. You're literally behind. And when you spoke to the point of the meteoric pace at which technology is moving, just think of what has happened with, now I know AI has been around for a long time, but these last 5-6 months,
right? ChatGPT, and it's insane. I'm trying to keep up. And
me too. I was like, let me get some of this AI-enabled stuff. And actually, it saved me. I paid someone thousands of dollars probably to scale a certain aspect of my business in, it was just November and December. The same thing I literally can do for free and in minutes. It's like, but who knew? And that project actually is still going on. And I've moved on with other projects to do in a fraction of the time. To your point, and I'm noticing time, so I want to get to some key things that listeners can do if they want to take advantage of what Dream.org has to offer. And we'll conclude on that. But just, there's an extraordinary amount of opportunity. So as doors close, windows open. And in my space, when I think about decentralized and distributed protocols, et cetera, and disintermediating the space, meaning removing intermediaries, that's really the legacy intermediaries, because new ones creep up. New ones pop up to service the new business person, the new technologist, the new lawyer, for example. So yes, some recede, and necessarily so, as Blockbuster, but then other things creep up. Hashtag Netflix, right? And so it goes on. So we've said a lot. I feel like this could be a 3-part series. Please let this be the first time and not the last.
I agree.
But before I ask how listeners can connect with you and Dream.org, what's your advice for those looking to reskill, upskill, or pivot right now, and how they could take advantage of what Dream.org has to offer?
My advice would be to do some research as to roles that exist. Mm-hmm. Also consider your background. But again, your background is not the end all be all. As long as you have, again, that mindset, which is that insatiable curiosity to learn, to grow, you will be fine, right? It's that connection. And we're trying to stand up some resources to help talent with this even more. Mm-hmm. But the skill sets that you have, they're transferable. Make sure you have that mindset and you're willing to immerse yourself in the new, right? And in a matter of 12 weeks to 6 months, you could be in the tech sector. Agreed. Like, it's that plausible now with the non-traditional pathways and resources that are out here, including Dream.org, but there are others in the ecosystem. I mean, there are many that also prioritize Black and brown folk. I say many. There's enough.
We don't want to overstate it, but more than
I don't want to overstate. Yeah, there's more than a few, right? There's more than a few. Fortunately, we're in an ecosystem together, and companies have bottom lines and literal metrics where they've been charged to find diverse talent. It's just a matter of talent, and that's the work that we do in connecting talent with those companies. But it's just a matter of talent raising their hand. So again, starts with the mindset, being willing to immerse yourself in learning for a minimum of 12 weeks up to 6 months. Do some research. Know that your skills that you already have are just going to make you better in that next phase, in that next role.
Fantastic. So you all heard, I'm going to drop this in the show notes so that there will be links to access this information. Kashif Wizard, it has been an absolute pleasure to connect with you. I look forward to continuing to nation build with you. I hear a lot of synergy, so we'll definitely circle back and see the things that we can do together. But thank you so much for the work that you are doing, and also leading by example. Your presence, particularly for Black men, but just your presence is making a difference. And so I want you to rest if you must, but don't you quit. Promise?
Promise. I promise. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to the Tech Intersect podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you love it, please tell the world. If not, go ahead and tell me. And in either case, drop a comment or ping me on social media at IPProfEvans with the hashtag TechIntersect. And finally, a quick reminder on digital safety. There are a lot of scammers out there impersonating me and others, and I need your help. Now hear this, and remember, I will never slide into your DMs to say peace and blessings or hey, and I will never reach out to solicit your time or your money on social media, like ever. I'm not a traitor. I am an educator and an attorney licensed in 4 states. Thank you very much. I'm here to inform, inspire, and empower. No cap, and definitely no Forex. So be careful, make good choices, and remember, I developed an entire free masterclass about the topic of digital safety in the crypto space. So check out secureyourcryptobag.com for more information. That's secureyourcryptobag.com. All right, that's all for this episode. Until next time, continue to shine.